Well, turn to Mark chapter 4, and while you're turning there, I just want to say a couple things. The Lord showed me something in the last couple of weeks about something that I thought I already knew something about, but like anything, sometimes you don't know as much as you think you do about it. And the Lord showed me something very powerful this week, and He, I believe, wants it communicated tonight to this little group we have here in this room to show the people here and the importance of words. Now, we already know that words are important. We've talked about that before, but tonight we're going to talk about this a little bit differently than we've talked about it before, because the Lord showed me a few more things about this. And so turn to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to cover some things about words that I want you to do me a favor tonight. I want you to listen to what I have to say and listen to it like you've never heard it before. In other words, try to empty your mind of preconceived notions about things and just listen to what the Bible has to say about this subject. And I promise you that if you do open your heart to hear what the Bible has to say tonight, it will change your life, literally. Okay? That's a promise I'll make you if you promise me that you will open your heart. Not that you wouldn't, but sometimes without even knowing it, we let past experiences and things in to cloud what the Word's trying to tell us. And if we'll just open our hearts and let the pure Word of God in, He'll show us some things tonight I think that will be startling almost about His words and any words. And so we're in Mark chapter 4. And Jesus is teaching, and He's saying to the people in verse 3, "Behold, there went out a sower to sow." All right? "And it came to pass as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. And when it did that, the fowls of the air came and devoured it up." That means that the seed just fell on hard ground. And what happens when the seed's laying on hard ground and it doesn't get absorbed? Birds come and they pick it up and they eat it and they fly away with it. "And some fell on stony ground." That means there was a little soil, but it was pretty rocky, where it didn't have much earth. "And immediately it sprang up, and because it had no depth of earth." You know, if you take a seed in rocky soil and you put water on it, it'll spring up and have some little leaves and stuff. But that doesn't mean the roots are really down. It just shows the little leaves on the surface. "But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root in the earth, it withered away. And some fell among thorns." You know, if you don't prepare the soil right and you just throw it out in the yard or something like that and there's weeds. "It grew up, and that was fine, but what happened? The weeds choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other, though, fell on good ground." In other words, it wasn't hard, it wasn't stony, it wasn't weedy. It was just good ground, and it yet yielded fruit. "And it sprang up and increased, and then it brought forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And when the farmer goes out into the field, which one does he want to have happen? He wants the latter one, doesn't he? He doesn't want the real hard ground. He doesn't want the rocky ground. He doesn't want the weedy ground. He wants to throw it into good soil so he can get a good return. That's what God wants to happen in our lives. He says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And we talked about the fact that they didn't really understand what the seed was because He hadn't told them yet. And then we talked about the fact that the people that stayed around and listened, they understood. That's not my point tonight. We're going to have another point. That's a good point, but it's not the point that I want to make tonight. All right, and then he goes on to say, he starts again, they ask him to explain it, and he says in verse 14, here's the key, the sower sows the word. In other words, the seed is the words. He didn't say the word of God, he just says the seer, sower sows the word. So words, listen, words are seeds. Mm-hmm. Words are seeds. And it says here that these seed on the wayside, in other words, on the hard road, the ones that didn't go in, that just laid on the surface, it said those seeds, Satan comes immediately and steals it. Now, what would that be? That would be a heart where the seed is sown. Let's say it's the Word of God in this case. Mm-hmm. And Satan doesn't want that seed to go in your heart. And so he'll try to predispose you to reject that seed, to make your heart hard against that seed so it won't go in. If it doesn't go in, what? It can't grow. So the whole idea is getting in God's good seed and keeping out the world's bad seed. That's the whole idea. Now, Satan will try to steal the good seed. Now, who has the power over the condition that the seed sees when it comes to the soil. Who has the power of the soil?
We do.
God has all good seed for us. Mm-hmm. The enemy, Satan, this is a new thought, he has all bad seed. Satan wants his seed to grow in our life and God's seed not to grow. God wants his seed to grow in our life and Satan's seed not to grow. But you know who it's ultimately up to? The soil. Us. What we do with that seed. All right? So these are they by the wayside, verse 15, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are also likewise were sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But they don't have any root in themselves, and they only endure for a short time. And then afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended, and they reject that seed, and it never brings forth what? Fruit. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of the seed is to bring forth fruit, not just to sprout, but to bring forth fruit. When the farmer goes out in the field and throws his seed out, the whole idea is not to go out in 2 weeks and look and see all the little green sprouts and say, oh my gosh, I'm a success. No, that's just an indication that things are proceeding normally, but it isn't what he's after yet, is it? What is he after?
He's after fruit.
He's after fruit. The full corn in the ear or the full soybean in the whatever.
Pod.
There you go. He wants that. But it has to go through these other stages first. So far, nobody has done what the seed's supposed to do. The first guy didn't grow at all. He refused it and Satan took it. The second one, oh, we're so thrilled with the word. It sounds so great. This Bible study is the greatest. I'm coming every week. And that was the end of it. Something happened. Or they went home and told somebody what they learned, and they said, you didn't fall for that junk, did you? And they go, why? Is something wrong with it? Yeah, that stuff's not true, blah, blah, blah. And they rejected it, and they got persecution because of it, and they let it go, and they didn't keep it. Then there was a stronger person. He said, no, I'm going to continue with this thing. But then they got kind of busy, and the priorities of life, the lusts of other things entering in, choked the word. That's the weeds, you know. Jesus is saying, so far, nothing's happened. It's growing a little bit, but never got to what I want. But then there's the good soil, and the seed goes in the good soil, and that brings forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. Now, words heard and received are likened to seeds. Whatever word you hear, all right, we've seen that. Now, keep your finger right where we are. Don't lose your place here, and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. So far, we've heard that words heard are seed. All right? Now think of the words as seed. We're going to think tonight about words being seeds. Keep your finger there and just turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And I just want to make one other little point here. Verse 20. I'm going to read this one too because there's several verses and then we'll have other people read. It says, my son, attend to my words. Now, is everybody there? What's the next phrase there? Karen, you have it.
Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart.
Okay, read verse 20 in its entirety.
Oh, the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words.
Stop right there. Listen closely to my words. Isn't that what we're just talking about? Mm-hmm. The sower sows the word. You know? All right. Now what's the next verse say, Karen?
Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart.
Verse 22.
For they are life to those who find them and health to the man's whole body.
Verse 23.
Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life.
Okay, that's fine. Above all things, do what, Karen?
Put away perversity from your mouth and keep corrupt talk far from your lips.
Okay, now verse 23. What's the thing we're supposed to do in there?
Guard your heart.
Why would we guard our heart?
Because
that's where the seed
is going to grow. You got to guard what goes in your heart because it's going to grow. Whatever you let in your heart is going to grow like a seed. You can't help it. I'm going to prove that in just a second. But I want you to see here that we need to watch what we hear. We need to also watch what we see. Verse 21, God says, let my words depart from your eyes. So when we're talking about words tonight, we're talking about spoken words and words you read, both. Both of them are seed. Because they both are life unto those that find them. In other words, we're supposed to keep those seeds in the midst of our heart, God's word seeds, however they come. Verse 21 says, keep these seeds, keep them in the midst of thine heart, whether it comes through hearing or whether it comes through, it says here, let them not depart from your eyes, God's words. Seeing, reading words. So reading the Bible, hearing the Bible, that's all God's word. That's good. Those are, it's good seed. And it says here that to keep this seed in the midst of your heart. Why? Because that seed's going to grow in there. That seed in your heart. Keep God's seed in there. For they, this seed, God's seed, it says here, are life unto those that find them, and health to all your flesh. You want to have divine health? Keep God's seed in your heart about health and healing. What God's word has to say. By Jesus' stripes you were healed. Himself took your infirmities. He bore your sickness. Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law, which included every sickness and every disease. Keep that word in your heart if you want to stay healthy. Don't keep the other word in your heart that says, well, you know, it says right here, you know, that this runs in the family, and so-and-so had this, and you can expect to have this, and all these other things that we hear in the world, and articles we read. Be careful, because these are seeds. And if you let those seeds in your heart, they're going to grow. And I'm going to show you in a minute what they produce. But I want you to see that it's seeds that we see, read, it's seeds that we hear. Either one affect the quality of our life. So in verse 23, God tells us what his solution is. Keep your heart with all diligence. What does it say in the NIV? Verse 23.
Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life.
Okay, above all things. Above how many things?
Everything.
Everything. Everything. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. People aren't guarding their hearts, folks. They're not guarding their hearts. They're letting all kinds of seed in there, and when that seed gets in soil, it grows. Can't help it. You can't let your kids or anybody else look at junk and hear junk that isn't of God and expect it not to affect them, because it will. They're seeds, and these seeds will grow. Now, I told you to keep your finger in Mark chapter 4. Let's just go on a little bit here in Mark chapter 4. So Jesus says, after he gets all done talking about how words are seed, here's his conclusion. Take heed, verse 24, what you hear. Another version of this parable, it says, take heed how you hear. Which one's right? Both. Because the Bible tells us both. Take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. Now, we all know what it means to take heed what you hear, don't we? Mm-hmm. But to take heed how you hear means whether you receive what you hear with your mechanical ear here and let it into your heart. Because you can actually hear something mechanically or audibly, but not hear it spiritually. That is, you don't have to let it in your heart. You understand what I'm saying? So that's how you hear. You don't have to accept it. You can reject things that you hear. And the more of the Word of God that you know, the more you'll be able to reject something that's not God's Word. It's not safe for you. All right? That's why Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. What it's all about, folks, is getting our minds renewed to God's Word rather than the world's Word. Because the world's Word's with us every day, 24 hours a day, TV, books, magazines, papers. And I'm not saying it's all bad. There's some good programs on, but there's a lot of it that's junk, and there's a lot of it that's bad seed. And that seed will take root in your life if you're not careful. All right, now, Jesus said here, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it will be measured unto you. That means whatever you give your time to, that's what's going to bring things into your life. And unto you that do hear, more will be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that has not, from him shall be taken away, even what he has. Now listen to this. This is what I'm getting to now on this tonight. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now listen. And he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. So what this is saying here is, say a farmer. It's just, he says, the kingdom of God is just like a farmer going out and casting seed into his ground. Do you think every farmer that goes out and plants seed in his ground understands all the biological things that are going to happen to that seed when it goes in the ground before it bears fruit? Does he have to know that for it to spring up? No, he doesn't have to know that at all. All he has to do is go down and buy a seed and put it into good ground, and it will grow, whether you understand how it works or not. When you go plug a plug in the wall and turn the switch and your light goes on, you do not have to understand exactly the electron theory of matter to understand that when you turn that switch, that light's going to go on. You don't have to understand how it happens. You just need to know how to use it. And what Jesus is saying here, and this is Jesus talking, by the way, he's saying the kingdom of God is just like a man that goes out and puts seed in his ground, and he goes to sleep, and he gets up every day, and the seed grows, and he doesn't even know how. And then listen to what he says. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. That's what the parable of the sower was saying. First comes a little blade, then comes a little ear, and then the corn develops in the ear. But it doesn't all happen at once. But what Jesus is telling us here is, this seed, whether you understand it or not, when it is sowed in the ground, it grows. And if nothing interrupts that growth, it will bear fruit. Now, since Jesus likened words we hear and read to seed, the point of everything he's saying is this. What you hear with your ears, what you read with your eyes in words, are seeds. And when you allow them into your heart, it will bear fruit in your life. You say, but I don't understand that. Doesn't matter. It's still going to happen. Just like the farmer doesn't understand when he throws a seed in the ground, says he knoweth not how. You might say, well, I don't understand that, Mike. I knoweth not how. Doesn't matter. It's the way it works. And so what God is saying here, he's saying, take heed what you hear. Because, folks, if you hear junk from the world and you let it in, it's going to grow. And you can't help it. Now, I'm not talking so much about you, but I just want you to look around the world a little bit and see the families that listen to the wrong stuff and just look at the fruit in their families. If you don't control that stuff. Some people say, well, I just believe in letting my kids, you know, learn about life. What that is a lazy parent. That parent saying, I've decided that the kids need to learn about life. The best way to learn about life is just to live life, and they'll learn some things and they'll make some mistakes, but that's just saying, I'm so lazy, I don't want to take a hand in my kids' life, and I'm just saying, and I'm making these noble-sounding words that I'm going to let them learn these things by life experiences. You're going to lose your kids because there's seed out there that will destroy them if you allow them to hear it, if you allow them to read it, because that seed will grow in their hearts. That seed. And you say, well, I don't understand that. I don't believe that. Well, you just rejected the seed of God's word because that's what it says right here. Well, I don't even understand. I accept God's word, but I don't understand. The farmer doesn't understand it either, but it still grows. And Jesus is saying right here, the earth brings forth fruit of itself because that's the nature of the earth. And Jesus is saying it's the nature of your heart to cause things, word seeds, to bear fruit in your heart. Okay, I think we got that established, okay? Now, you know what that fruit is? God showed me this week what that fruit is. I thought that fruit was just sort of things that happen in your life. That's not the fruit he's talking about at all. Turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and we're going to find out what the fruit of this seed is. I had another outline completely prepared because I have taught on this subject many, many times. And I thought, well, I'll just get one of those other outlines and I'll modify it for our little lesson tonight. And the Lord showed me something entirely new that didn't contradict anything that I'd learned before, but added to it. All right, now look at Romans 10, 17. Do you have that, Sue?
Mm-hmm. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ.
Okay, how does faith come, Karen? Sue?
comes by hearing.
Faith is the fruit of the seed sown in your heart. Faith in something. If you hear God's word on healing, you're going to have faith in your heart for healing unless you reject it. If you heard God's word on prosperity, you're going to have faith in your heart for prosperity unless you reject it. In other words, unless you make it like hard pavement and don't let it in. But if you let it in, it will grow. Now that's the whole idea of Bible studies, really, is to sow God's word, sow those seeds in the people's hearts so it can grow in their lives. It's not to hear me pontificate up here for 45 minutes. That's not the idea. The idea is to receive, every time I tell you something in the Word of God, that is seed. If you let it in your heart, good things will grow. All right? So Jesus is saying here, I mean, the Word of God is saying here in Romans 10, 17, the Holy Spirit is saying, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, if you want faith in God's word, the things that are in there, you need to hear those things. And when you hear God's word, those seeds that are sown in your heart from hearing God's word will produce a fruit called faith. Faith is the key to receiving everything from God or the enemy. There is such a thing, you might call it negative faith, because this fruit works in the negative as well. God here is talking about his word. Notice how it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith in the things of God comes by hearing the word of God. Did you know that faith in the things of the world comes through hearing the word of the world? TV, newspapers, magazines, whatever's not of God. Not all of it's bad, but I'm saying some of it's very bad. All right? Some of these programs are horrible. And that going into a little kid's spirit is seeds that can spring up and bear horrible fruit in their life. We don't want that. So faith comes by hearing. What God is saying, faith for, if you hear my word, will bring faith in the things in my word. If you want faith in healing, in other words, there's different kinds of fruits. There's different kinds of seeds that can be sown, right? There's corn, there's soybeans, there's wheat. All of those bring forth fruit after their kind, don't they? Mm-hmm. It's the same way with the word. If I teach you for a couple of weeks on healing, you're going to get healing seed in your spirits, all right? And it's going to bring forth faith in healing, for healing. If we talk about prosperity and the thing, how God wants to prosper you, and we do that for a couple of weeks, and I bring you a word of God on that, that is seed that's going to be sown in your heart, if you let it in. Now, I've seen people not let it in. Believe me, I've been in Bible studies where some people just sat there like this, and they were bound and determined they weren't going to let that in, and they didn't go in. That was their choice. But we're not that way. But I'm just saying, that's why we have these Bible studies. If I sow seed on prosperity, that will go in. But the thing is, all during the week, when we're not at Bible study, there's other kinds of seed being sown all the time. All the time. Because all words are seed. And will all produce faith in something. Now, what we want is faith in the things of God. So we want to hear God's word. And that's what Romans 10, 17 says. Faith in God's things comes by hearing God's word. Now, this explains something. Did you ever wonder, you ever hear this expression? There was this wonderful saint of God, this wonderful person that was involved in everything at church. She or he was always there when the doors were open. They were worked all the time for the church. Wonderful people. All of that. But they died a horrible death of cancer or something like that. We've all known people like that, haven't we? Good. They say, they were so good. I don't understand. God must have just taken them home early because he wanted them to be with him. Because if anybody knew, if anybody would have gotten healed, it would have been that person because they were so good. Wrong. And I'm going to tell you why. It's good to be good. It's good to work for the church, all of that. But if they didn't get seed in their heart about healing, there's no faith for healing. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get faith in your heart. You've got to get the seed in your heart. I don't care how good, a wonderful a person you are, how much God loves you. If you do not get the word seed sown in your heart for that specific thing, like the farmer goes out for oats, wheat, corn, whatever. He doesn't plant corn seed and get soybeans. If you need healing seed, you need to hear healing word. If you want prosperity into your life, you need to hear prosperity word. If you need to have a good marriage in your life, you need to hear good marriage word. I mean, these are specific seeds. But there's also the negative of this. Satan sows his seeds as well. He not only sows seed, he steals seed. Did you know it says when it's laying on the surface? Did you notice also that he cannot steal seed you let in your heart? It's only the seed that was rejected that he was able to steal. That's the only category that said Satan came immediately to steal the word. It was only when it was laying on the surface. And that's just like the birds. They can only get the seed that's on the surface. You know, when you throw it out on your yard or something, some scatters on the driveway. If you've got an asphalt driveway, the birds like that. They come and they eat that up. Well, Satan likes that too when that seed's refused, because then he comes and steals it away. So you won't ever let it in. He'll get it out of there. But when you let it in, then other things can happen. But finally, if it gets on good soil, it bears fruit. It's the most natural thing in the world. If you will let healing word into your heart, you'll have healing faith in your heart when you need it. Okay? And that's why I've really been ministering to Madge a little bit here, is to get that healing seed in her heart so that she can believe that she'll see a little bit better every day. See, it's not, I don't do anything, but if I can get the seed and show her the scripture, you always need to show the scripture, show the word, that's the seed, and get it in her heart, it will always grow and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. But the other side of the coin is a little scary, and that is, there's all this other seed out there. Did you ever notice, I was thinking today, you take the Amish people, good people. But what I'm saying is, the reason that they can stay away from the world is by controlling what these kids are allowed to hear when they're small. If they can control the word seed that gets in there, these kids will growing up thinking this is the right thing. And I'm not saying it's wrong, it's fine, it's a way of life. But I'm saying it's a different way of life. I mean, when you're driving a buggy down the road and cars are going by 60 miles an hour, that's a different kind of life out there. That is a life that we had 50, 60, 80 years ago. Okay, but I'm saying the only way little kids can accept this, mommy and daddy, you know, whatever they say, that seed that goes right into their heart because they believe all that stuff, and that's fine. But when they get older, if they're going to have any problems, it's when they get away to school, or that's why they have their own school, you know, so they don't get any of that other seed in there, because once that other seed gets in, then there's the pull. And I'm not saying anything against the Amish. I think they're wonderful people, and that's not my point. My point really is that whatever you hear and let in can control your life. And if you limit to what you can hear, it can create a whole different whole system inside another system. And we can see that in their lives. Another thing is little kids. You know, little kids, whatever mommy and daddy says is pretty much gospel for them. They've never heard, you know, they're so innocent, they've never had anybody lie to them. They don't know that, well, that might be true, that might not be true, because you've had experience of someone lying. They let the good things in their heart, you know. So mommy and daddy, it's really important those first few years that they get God's seed in there. That will stay in there, that will grow in their lives. And try to control, I mean, minimize the amount of bad seed that can get in there. Now, they're going to go out and they're going to go to school and they need to do all those things. But mom and dad can need to keep reinforcing and letting those words come in. All the things that they've taught them, don't quit. Just keep it pouring it in there, because they're getting other seed too. And let them know that other seed will come and they need to reject some of that stuff. Because I've seen more kids, especially college, go off with some Christian upbringing, but maybe it wasn't that strong. They go off to college and they start hearing new things from new professors and new ways of looking at things that they never heard at home. And the first thing you know, they've rejecting everything they learned, rejecting their faith and stuff. I say it's because of these word seeds that they allow into their hearts. It will grow. We know not how. We just know it will grow. And so the fruit of the word seed that is sown in your heart is faith in something. All right? And we want to have faith in the good things. We want to have the faith in the things of God. So what do we need to hear? God's word. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Faith will also come by hearing the enemy's word. Now, let's just take a couple of examples of people who heard some words and what they did. Let's turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 is clear back just after Deuteronomy. It's about the sixth book in the Bible. Joshua chapter 6. And we're going to read, everybody knows the story of Joshua and Jericho, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I want to bring out a point here that I don't know if you've ever heard about this before, and I think it's a good point. Joshua chapter 6, verse let me set the stage for it a little bit. They finally, after 40 years in the wilderness, only two people over 20 survived. That was Joshua and Caleb. They finally went over the river and into the promised land, okay, over the Jordan River. Well, guess what? There were some people in there that didn't want to leave their land. They liked it there too. And so God was giving this land to them. And so he said, well, I've given you, verse 2, he said to Joshua, I have given into thine hand Jericho. Well, that must have been good news for Joshua. I've given it into your hand. And they didn't even have to fight. But God did tell them to do something. All right? What did he tell them to do? Does anybody remember?
March around the city.
He said, the first 6 days, I want you just to march around the city, and I want you to blow horns and just march around once. And then go back to your camp. And the second day, I want you to do the same thing. And the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day, do the same thing. But on the seventh day, I want you to march around it 7 times. And then, on the seventh time around, on the seventh day, I want you to yell at the top of your lungs. And when you do this, the walls will fall down flat. Now, these are seeds. These are words that can either be accepted or rejected by Joshua. You see that? Right? Read verse 5. Let's just go ahead and read it. You're thinking about it. This is God talking now. Marianne, read verse 4 and 5.
Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in.
Now read verse 6.
So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it.
Verse 7.
And he ordered the people, advance, march around the city, with the armed guard going ahead of the ark of the Lord.
Okay, now, you hear what Marianne said there. First, God gave them some instructions, right? Does it sound logical to you? That when you shout, the walls of this huge city are going to fall flat? But God said it, didn't he?
No, but God said it.
Now, verse 7, verse 6. It doesn't even have a pause there. It says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, take the Ark of the Covenant, and he just read back to them exactly what the Lord told him. Now, I want you to see that these words are seeds. Now, these words could have been heard by Joshua, and he thought, wait a minute, it doesn't make a bit of sense here. Mm-hmm. I mean, these walls, we're going to blow horns that are really loud. I've heard these ram's horns and blowing these trumpets, and we got 7 priests doing this, and they got everybody going before them doing this. And then we're going to shout with our own voices, and the walls will fall down flat, and we're supposed to march around it for 6 days first, and not shout, and not see anything happen. And then the seventh day, he didn't question all this. He just said, this is God's work. This is God's method for causing walls to fall down flat, whatever it is. Now, he had a choice there, didn't he? He could have refused the seed. The seed could have gone just on the surface. But he let it into good soil, didn't he? So, okay, now go down to verse 20. And, Karen, you read that. Now they're all marching around the city.
Because when the trumpets sounded, the people shouted, and the sound of the... At the sound of the trumpet, and when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in, and they took the city.
The wall collapsed when they did what God said. Now, you look back and you say, how in the world could Joshua have done that? Here's, it's very simple. He let the seed in. When you let the seed in, your responsibility ceases. What's the most natural thing in the world for the seed to do once it's let in? Grow and bear fruit. And that fruit it bears is what? What kind of fruit? Faith fruit. See, that's why he was able to believe God. It's because he let the words in and it bore faith fruit. He had faith he didn't have before because he let that seed in there. I just want you to see that. Our responsibility is to let it in. Let the right thing in, keep the wrong thing out. That's all we have to do. That's the revelation here. God does the rest. You need to have the faith. He gives you the faith if you just let the seed in. It's the most natural thing in the world for the fruit to spring up if you let the seed in on good soil. So all we have to do is open the door to our heart, let God's word in, faith will spring up inside, and then we act on the faith that comes from that, and things happen. It's that simple. Do you ever notice the things of God that are most meaningful to you are the simplest ones? Mm-hmm. This is so simple. If you want to have success in your life, this is what you need to do. This is how to spoil the devil's plan for your life, what we're talking about. That is, let the right seed into your heart. Keep the wrong seed out of your heart. And then God promises he'll cause that good seed to spring up in your life and bring forth faith for what you need. You need healing? He'll bring forth faith for it. You need prosperity? He'll bring forth faith for it. You need a better marriage? He'll bring forth faith for that. He'll show you what to do. You need peace in your life? He'll bring that. Just get the scriptures and the promises on peace. Build that into your heart. Whatever you need, let that seed in. Now can you understand why it says back in Proverbs 4:20, my son, my daughter, attend to my words. He says, incline your ear unto my sayings. He's saying, let my words not depart from before your eyes. Keep my words in the midst of your heart. For if you do this, there'll be life unto you and health to all your flesh. Therefore, he says, keep your heart with all diligence. Can you understand that a little bit better now? You need to keep your heart with all diligence. What does it mean to keep your heart? It means watch what you let in there. That's what he's talking about. Guard your heart. Don't let junk in there because you cannot control what happens when you let something in there. Can a farmer sit in his house after he's put that seed in good ground and say, I'm sorry I ever sowed that seed out there. I don't know if I want a crop out there. I'm going to have to go harvest that thing. And just sit there and think about that. What's that seed going to do? Is it going to just say, well, I guess I won't grow? It's going to grow anyway. Once that seed is in that soil, it's going to grow. So that's why we have to be so careful. My son, my daughter, attend to my words. That's the emphasis here. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let my words not depart from your eyes. Why, Lord? Because they're life unto you. And they're health to all your flesh. Well, gee, Lord, what should I do? Keep your heart with all diligence. That's what he's saying. Watch what you let in there. Because they're seeds. And you cannot control what you do after that. What happens in your life. It will bear fruit. Because whatever is of faith in your life, and we're going to find out this next week, you're going to speak. What words you speak are what you believe. And boy, once those words are out of your mouth, then something else happens. We'll talk about that next week. But for this week, I want you to see that God is saying, be real, real careful what seed you allow in there, because it's going to grow. You can't let junk in your heart and expect good stuff to happen. It won't happen. And that's what's so sad about, you know, I've seen a lot of people, I know men especially, who are hooked on, and this is bad, pornography. You got to watch what you allow in there. But God is saying, be careful. Keep your heart with all diligence, because you can't say yes to some of these things. First thing you know, you won't be able to say no to any of this stuff anymore, because that you're building faith in the wrong things into your life. Not you, but I'm just saying people in general. So God is saying, be real careful in this. Naaman was another one. Time's limited, let's just talk about it. Naaman was a leper. Naaman was a general as well for the Syrian army. And his king loved him so much, he says, Naaman, I wish there was something I could do for you. And the king's, the Naaman's maid was an Israelite. And she said, have you heard about the great prophet in Israel? He could cure this leprosy. And he told it to Naaman's wife. And the king heard about it. He says, Naaman, you've been such a good general for me. I want you to go over to Israel. And I want you to call on this prophet and get healed of this leprosy. And so Naaman takes off and takes time off from being a general. And he goes over to Israel. And he stops in at the king of Israel and says, the king of Syria has just sent me here. And he told me to tell you that I've got leprosy and you can cure this leprosy over here. Well, the king of Israel has a panic attack. He says, he's trying to cause a war with me. I don't know anything about curing leprosy. I don't have any idea what to do. He's trying to pick a fight with me. You know, because if I can't cure your leprosy, then he'll come over here and beat up on me. You know, basically what he's saying. And somebody in the court says, wait a minute, there's a prophet. Anyway, Elijah heard about this. And he sent word to the king, don't worry about it. Send him over to me. I'll take care of this. And so Naaman goes over to this prophet, Elijah, and he's a general, and he thinks that, you know, the way these things are done, he's going to meet with this big man. The two big men are going to get together. The big man's going to pray over him, lay hands on him, and say some incantations or something, and he'll be healed. But that isn't what happens. What happens is that Elijah's servant comes out. Elijah doesn't even talk to the guy. Elijah never even saw the guy in the whole episode. He sends his servant out and says, go dip in the River Jordan 7 times, and when you come again, you'll come, the 7th time you'll come clean. The demon gets mad. He got the seed, and you know God's word is still God's word, whether it comes through a prophet, whether it comes through the Bible, or the God appears in your living room and says, Sue, Karen, Madge, do this. It's still God's word. And so God sent his word to this prophet, and the prophet told his servant, and the servant went out and told Naaman, and Naaman didn't like the way he got it. He thought it was pretty bad thing that the servant would come out and give him this word instead of the prophet himself. Also, he looked and noticed that Jordan was a muddy little river, and he came through, and they got better rivers over in Syria where he came from, and if it was going to clean him, why wouldn't the clean rivers where he came from do a lot better job than this old muddy Jordan over here? So he got in a snit, and he was going to go home. Well, what he's doing here is he's looking at the seed, which is God's word, and he's saying, I don't believe this seed. I don't accept this seed into my heart. So he had refused the seed at this point. Then finally one of his own servants said to him, Master, if he'd told you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done it? This is easy. He thought to himself, yeah. If he'd have said I had to travel this far and go to this thing, I'd have done it. But he's just saying, go to this river that's right here and wash 7 times. And just through hearing that from his servant, he let that seed into his heart. He went out and he went into Jordan. Now, how many times did he have to go in?
Seven.
So he goes out there and he goes in 1 time. And he comes out. Now, can you imagine all these people that are with him are watching him? See if this is going to work or not. And this is a general. If this doesn't work, he's really going to lose some face in front of all these people. So he goes out and he gets in the Jordan and comes out 2nd time. He's still got leprosy. Goes out and gets in the Jordan 3rd time. Still got leprosy. Goes out and gets in the Jordan 4th time. Still got leprosy. Goes out and gets in the Jordan 5th time, he's still got leprosy. Goes out and gets in the Jordan 6th time, he's still got leprosy. I mean, about this time, it'd be easy just to say, this is crazy, what am I doing? And don't you think the enemy was probably there saying that to him? But he goes out the 7th time and goes in the Jordan. He comes in and he's completely clean and healed of his leprosy. Why? Because he let that seed in, and when he finally let that seed in, that faith grew in his heart to go and do the thing that God asked him to do. But at first, he almost refused that seed. See, that seed works. We're not to evaluate God's word by how much sense it makes. We're just supposed to let it in our heart and do what it says, and God does the rest. All we are, really, if you want to get down to it, folks, it's so easy. We're gatekeepers to our heart. God just saying, I'm going to furnish the word. You just let that word in, and it's going to produce something my word calls faith. And if you'll let my word in, it'll produce faith in my things so that when you need it, you can get what you need. So you can understand now my little lesson about the lady who was so good in the church, or man, did everything the Lord wanted to do, worked on every committee, was always there, even went in the church when nobody was around and cleaned the bathrooms. And just God knew it. Wonderful person, but didn't know about healing. That person is not going to have healing faith. And you can understand a little bit now about how much God loves everybody, but some people he's able to do a little bit more for than other people simply because of the seed that they've allowed in their heart that has produced faith fruit in that particular thing. See, you can have, you might hear every Sunday a sermon on salvation, and that's all good. But if you're saved, you need to hear some other things too, okay? Now, you may have the greatest faith in the world that Jesus took your sin upon that cross, Oh, you can preach it 10 different ways. But if you don't know that he also took your sicknesses in the same package and don't act on that, and you won't have faith in that when you need it. See, you can have faith in some things, be very strong, and very low in another thing, depending upon what seed that you've had in your heart. Did you have healing seed in your heart? Have you had prosperity seed in your heart? Have you had peace in your heart seed? Do you have non-worry seed? You have whatever you need seed, you need to keep the level of all of them pretty high. So that when things happen in your life, you're not trying to put the shingles on in the middle of the storm. You're ready. You had that seed sown in your heart. But what we've got is Christians so many times, we've got way high faith over here on salvation because we hear it all the time. But we got very low faith in some of these other areas, and we wonder how come this really good person couldn't get out of this jam they were in because they never had the seed they needed and to generate the faith they needed to get out of that jam. Do you understand what I'm saying here? There's all kinds of faith in different things, and you need to hear seed for that faith and let it grow in your life. I mean, you wouldn't want to just eat cornflakes all your life, would you? Day after day, 3 meals a day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year, you're going to have your cornflakes.
Well, they may have that seed in their heart, but they don't activate it.
Well, they won't even have the seed in their heart unless they hear those words somewhere. Mm-hmm. Now, if you hear somewhere, this is not for today, then you won't have that seed, and that will never happen in your life. You know what I'm saying? So we need to allow all of the seed of God's word in there, because it won't grow if the seed never got there. You can't. I mean, if you go out and sow just corn, you're not going to have a whole crop of other things, too. You're just going to have that one crop of things. That's right. If you just want cornflakes the rest of your life, just sow corn. But me, I'd rather have a few different things. I'd rather have victory in this area and in this area. If the enemy comes in against me here, my faith is strong there, too, because I've let that seed grow in my heart as well. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is to hear all the good word of God. Like you're doing tonight, you're hearing some different, maybe some new things, but on different subjects, so that when you need it, you've got the faith is there, that seed has been sown. All right, now, we've seen two good examples of seed. Let's think of some people that heard bad seed and what happened. And I was getting a little late, so let me just cover this. How about the Israelites? They're getting ready to go into the promised land. God said, I have given you this land. Go, it's so great, I want you to take 12 spies, go over and look at it. It is so great. And they went over there and they looked at that land, and boy, it sure was. And they brought back grapes that they had to carry on staffs between their shoulders. They were so great. Just one big bunch of grapes. It was so fruitful. And he said, what was it like when they got back? And they said, it truly was a land of milk and honey, just like the Lord said. However, one problem. Now, first of all, what was the seed God sowed? I have given you this land. That was the seed that should have built the faith in their heart. Now, there were 12 spies that went out, right? Now, we all know the story. 10 spies came back and gave an evil report, it was called. What is an evil report? An evil report is any report that does not agree with God's word. All right? They came back and they said, we have seen the land. It truly is good. However, the people there are big. They're bigger than us. We can't possibly take these people. And right then, Caleb throws up his hands and says, wait, we're well able to take this land. God is with us. We can do this. Two people gave a good report and said, we can do this. 10 spies said, oh, I don't think so. These are big people in here. Even though God had said, this is your land. I'm giving it to you. So the people then that didn't go heard all of what was said. And they decided, on their own, they made a choice, and they decided to believe the 10 spies rather than Joshua and Caleb. And so they decided that they couldn't do it, even though God said it was there. They didn't let that seed in their heart. And so they began to say things. They began to say things like, oh, I wish we'd never left Egypt. I wish we'd just die in the wilderness rather than go in there and get beaten by these people. And God later on, we'll cover this next week, said to them, as I've heard in my ears, so must I allow come to pass in your lives. You will live in this land and never go in. But of all those millions of people over 20 years old, two did go in. Their names were Joshua and their name was Caleb. the only two that received the seed into their heart, and it brought forth faith, and said the thing God wanted them to say. So it can work both ways. You could let it in, and God's word in, and do you some good, or you can reject it, and it will do bad. How about Adam and Eve? They heard two kinds of seed, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
God says, I've given you all this. There's only one thing I'm asking you to do. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything else you can eat, everything else you've had, you're in total control of this planet. I've given it to you. Name all the animals. Do whatever you want. Just one thing don't do. They heard that. That was some seed. Mm-hmm. Then they heard what the enemy said. He came along and said, he said, if you do eat that tree, God said, the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And then the enemy comes up and he says to Eve, he says, has God said that if you eat of that tree, you'll surely die? You shall surely not die. He just doesn't want you to eat of that tree because he knows that when you eat of that tree, you'll be like God's, like he is, and you'll know good and evil like God does. So you got two warring things here. You got a choice. Eve chose to let the seed of the enemy come in and go and try to be like God, and to eat that fruit, and then she gave it to Adam, and he ate the fruit, and he knew what he was doing too. And so for all that time, the curse came on the earth after that. And thousands of years went by with a big mess on the earth because people let the wrong seed into their heart and listened to the wrong words. Okay, the whole point of this lesson is that it all depends, what we have in our life depends on what we allow in our heart. If we allow God's word in our heart, we'll produce good fruit, good faith fruit. If we allow the world's words into our heart, it'll produce world faith in the world fruit. You know what I'm saying? There'll be a faith of some kind. You know, the only kind of faith isn't faith in things of God. You can have a faith in, some people have a faith in the devil. Some people have a faith in this world as being the answer to everything. Some people have a faith in their own ability to be able to solve any problem on their own. They're very oriented that way. You can have faith in a lot of things. Some are good, some are bad. If you listen to the world's word, you're going to have faith in the world's things. If you listen to God's word, you're going to have faith in God's things. Why? Because these words are seed and they will grow when sown in your heart. And so what we have to do is control, protect our heart by choosing wisely what we allow ourselves to hear. And next week we're going to complete this lesson. Because tonight what we've heard is guard your heart with all diligence, because it's important that you let the right seed in, because it will grow and it'll produce something called faith fruit. What we're going to talk about next week is this scripture and others, Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. In other words, if you want to control what comes out of your mouth, you first have to control what you let into your heart. Because what goes in your heart will come out your mouth. And when it comes out your mouth, you open a whole nother box of things that can be good or bad. And so we'll complete this next week, okay? So tonight we just heard about the power of words we hear and read. Next week we're going to talk about the effect of these words in our heart. After they produce a faith fruit, does something else happens. You cannot help but speak the things you believe. The thing is to do is to control what you believe, controlling the seed that first comes in your heart. So that first thing you allow in your heart controls everything else. And we'll finish this next week, okay? Any questions or anything before we quit? Father, thank you very much. I hope I presented this the way you gave it to me, Father. I hope I did brought the importance of this across to the people the way you wanted it, Father. I did the best I could. I just ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, to cause this seed that went forth tonight, these seeds, Father, that were based upon your word, to go deep into the hearts of the people here. And I just ask you, Father, that to cause this, they've opened their hearts. We prayed that before we started, Father, so this seed would go deep, Father, and to bring forth good faith fruit in the things of you, Father. So I trust that that's been done tonight, because we asked it before we started, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the lives of these people that are here tonight. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everyone said,
Amen.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Okay, we're ready to go over our homework for lesson four then.
Okay.
We're on a series now called How to Spoil the Devil's Plan for Your Life. He's got a plan for your life, God's got a plan for your life.
I'd rather have God's plan, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, the first question is, words are seed, and the word seeds I allow in my heart will grow. True or false?
True.
That's true. That's exactly what the lesson was about last week. So if you got that true, you did good on the lesson. Next question. This seed can be words we hear or even words we read. True or false?
True.
That's true, too. We found that out by going to Proverbs 4:20. Next question. Seed I receive in my heart will always grow and produce some kind of fruit. True or false?
I think that's false.
Seed
It'll grow,
I receive in my heart will always grow and produce some kind of
but
fruit.
It's, well...
Okay, why did you think that was false, man?
Because,
Of the kind of fruit?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, if I sowed potatoes, I'd get potatoes.
Right.
And that's the reason why I thought it was false.
Okay. What you just said is true. If you sow potatoes, you're going to get potatoes. You sow corn seed, you're going to get corn.
Well, I just didn't think this through very much.
It's going to produce some kind of fruit, though. So if you interpret it that way, it'll be true.
Yeah.
But if you interpreted it, I meant that you say it would produce some other kind of... You sow one seed, you get another kind, then it would be false, depending on how you interpret it.
Well, that's the way I took it, so...
I understand that. Next question. Faith is the fruit that comes from the word seed I receive into my heart. True or false?
True.
That's true. Faith comes by hearing. See, that's what we got to realize, is we're going to have faith in something. And we can control what we have faith in by choosing what we hear. Because there's something about words that when they go, when you receive them into your heart, it creates faith. Just like a little kid is the easiest way to see it, I think, you know. Mommy and daddy tell that little kid something, and as far as that little kid, he develops a high degree of faith in what mommy and daddy say. Okay? And so that's the way people get faith. You know, just like little kids that believe in Santa Claus or something like that. How do they get that deep faith? And you couldn't tell a little tiny kid there's no Santa Claus hardly once they've heard it from mommy and daddy. That's
well,
mommy
after
and
all, they've seen him too.
Yeah, and that's why they see him around town and stuff, and everybody says, see, there he is, you know. So faith is the fruit that comes from the word seed you receive into your heart. Now, you don't have to receive it, but once you receive it, it will produce faith in something. True or false? It's always good to have faith.
Yes, it's good.
True.
Is that true?
Depends on what you have faith in.
It's always good to have
faith. Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
See, that's what I'm trying to say. Depending on what words you hear, you're going to have faith either in good things. See, we think it's always good to have faith. Our mind immediately goes to faith in things to get prayers answered, and that's all good. But see, we've got faith that we don't really understand that we've got in other things, too. I mean, when things go wrong and you get laid off, do you have faith in...
How about that?
Do you have faith just in your job? Oh, my gosh, I'm completely devastated. Or do you have faith in the fact that, hey, I'm a tither. God's Word says that because I'm a tither, He'll provide for me, take care of me, and all of those things. See, it depends on what you have faith in. If you have faith in... your boss to provide the job, or do you have faith in the Lord to get you a new one if you need one? See, it all depends. And also, people can have faith in negative things that aren't good. You know, the world out there, they're hearing junk all the time. What you hear, you're going to have faith in, good or bad. So it's not always good to have faith. It depends on what you have faith in. All right? I could give a lot more examples, but I think you get the point. We need to hear God's word and have faith in what He says, rather than hearing the world's word. How do we hear the world's word? Give me some ideas on that.
TV, radio,
movies, newspapers, movies.
Paper. Newspaper.
Now, not all that's bad, is it? But no. A good part of it is damaging. I mean, you know, you go on TV... And some of these programs that are on there are not good programs.
Oh, yeah, I just
and if you watch
them.
I know. And if you watch that junk, teenagers can get faith in the fact by watching that it's okay to have sex before you're married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Simply because all the TV programs are telling them day in and day out, it's okay, we're in a modern age now. Whatever, if it feels good, do it. I mean, if you hear enough of that, you're going to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
See, so faith isn't
And if you want to believe it, it's just so much easier to believe.
Yeah. If you don't hear anything else, that's what you're going to believe. And that's why it's a parent's responsibility to see that their kids get other stuff. They try to limit that negative stuff in there. Okay, next question. And since having faith is always good, it's always good to let any kind of word seed into my heart. Now that kind of let that question in. Mm-hmm. We know that's false, don't we?
Right.
Not anything. Name something that's always good to have faith in.
God's love.
God's love.
And God's word.
God's word. I heard God twice there. Things that God says and things that God is like are good things to have faith in. Name something that's dangerous to always have faith in.
Myself.
Myself, that's good.
Money.
Money.
Right. Well, I'm just the worldly words.
You know, what if a person had faith in whatever somebody told him? Mm-hmm. Just said, whatever I hear. A lot of people do. I mean, they hear something on TV, they think that's just the way things are. That's the gospel. That's their gospel. Well, people say if something's true, that's the gospel, they say. Well, if you got the right gospel, that's good. But if you got the wrong one, in other words, you're talking about just some truth you got from the world, that's not necessarily good. So we got to protect our kids. I keep thinking of kids in this kind of situation. It's up to the parents to see that these children are exposed to the right kinds of things to hear. Okay? Faith comes by blank.
Hearing.
Faith in godly things comes by hearing.
God's word.
God's word or godly things. Good. Faith in ungodly things comes by hearing the world's word or ungodly things. Now, okay, we got that now, don't we? So we must be blank to protect our heart by controlling what we blank.
Diligent.
So we must be diligent or careful to protect our hearts by controlling what we
hear.
Good. Name two Bible incidents where listening to the right thing helps someone.
Talitha, arise, and Lazarus, come out.
Hey.
They both heard it, they rose.
Okay, that's good. Anybody else? We had in our lesson last week. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
We had Joshua last week. I mean, he listened to what the Lord said to him about how the best way to take Jericho, didn't he? Yeah. Did it make sense?
Yep.
No.
And Naaman.
I mean, it made sense to him because it was God's word. But if you just heard somebody say this, would it make sense to march around that city and yell at the top of your lungs?
No.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have made sense. But Naaman.
Naaman was the other. Yeah. Naaman heard, but he was close there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He almost rejected it, but then finally he decided to do what God said. And see, in both cases, when they heard what God said and did what he said, a good thing happened.
You know, there was a second-handed, because Naaman didn't believe his first person that told him, but his man, servant.
Yes.
He believed him.
Yes.
And listened to him.
Mm-hmm. So he got it, you know, he didn't get it the first time.
Yeah.
But he did it, see, but he did get it.
Yeah, he did. Cause,
so he recovered in time, didn't he?
Yes, he did, because he evidently must have had more faith in his servant than he did.
I think it made him think, you know, because his servant said something to him.
Yeah.
He said, Master, if he'd asked you to do a hard thing, wouldn't you have done it? Because it just seems so easy. I mean, this is the way I'm going to get healed? And he thought, yeah, I guess I would have. And so somehow that connected with him.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, maybe the Lord inspired his servant to say that thing. I don't know.
Oh, I think so.
But the point is, he heard something. In both these cases of Joshua and Naaman, they heard something that on the surface wouldn't have made a lot of sense. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times and you'll come again clean of leprosy. Go march around the wall 7 times and it will fall down when you shout. I mean, to the natural mind, that doesn't make sense. But it was God's word. And when they heard that, it gave them faith to do what God said. And when they did what God said, they got results. And you know what? That is exactly the way it works for everything. First, you have to hear truth. Then you have to, that builds faith in your heart. Then once you've got the faith in your heart, you need to act on that faith. And then when you act on the faith, we'll see that more tonight in our lesson, then things happen. And we're going to talk about this. Every time it works that way. Name two Bible incidents where listening to the wrong thing hurt someone. Anybody got any ideas on that? It was in our lesson last week.
Adam and Eve.
There's a classic example. They heard the right thing first, but then they let the wrong thing replace the right thing. And then they acted on that and got in all kinds of trouble. It affected man for thousands of years. Who was the other person that we talked about last week?
The Israelites.
And what?
In the desert.
They listened to the wrong thing. Now, they could have listened to the right thing. First, they had God saying, I've given you this land. That was the right thing. Then they had Caleb and Joshua saying, we can do this. God's given it to us. You know, Caleb said they're meat for us. You know, there's no way they can stand up against us. But the other 10 said, no, they're so big. We can't do anything. And they chose to listen. They had a choice, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And that choice cost them. Everybody over 20 did not enter into the promised land. They wandered in the desert for 40 years because of not listening to the wrong source. What we hear and allow into our hearts is up to who?
Us.
It's our choice. That means, it's a simple little statement, that means really what we do with our lives, the degree of success that we have is up to us. Because God's word promises that if we'll hear his word, develop faith in our heart by hearing his word. Now, here's the neat thing about it. Once we hear God's word, he promises it's a seed and it'll grow. So all we have to do is present ourselves to God's word. And then it will grow in our heart and develop faith. And then when we act on that faith, it produces results in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really up to us whether we do it that way or don't. It's up to us whether we have success or failure in our lives. And so many Christians, it's so sad to say, don't realize that. Their words are so powerful. God gave us the Bible to produce blank in blank blank. God gave us the Bible to produce what? What does the Bible produce when you hear it?
Faith.
Faith in God's word.
Faith in God's word. That's right. See, God says here, you need faith. This is what some need about the Lord, and people don't understand this. They worry about faith so much. He said, you know, Mark 11:24 said this, therefore Jesus said, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. The whole key to receiving from God when you pray is to believe when you pray you're going to receive it. So many Christians have a problem with that. They say, well, I don't have much faith. Well, then get in the Word. Because that's how it's, those are the seeds. You can't have faith without the Word. And that's where Christians are falling down all over the place because they're trying to have faith without the Word. And you've got to hear the right word. You've got to know what God's word really says and develop and build it into your heart. Then you'll have the faith, and then you can get your prayer answered. People are trying to do it backwards. They just haul off and pray with no faith at all, and nothing happens. And so the next time they pray, they don't expect anything to happen, and then nothing happens again, and the next time they pray, they don't expect anything to happen. And it keeps going that way all through their lives. And people's like, I don't know if I've ever had a prayer really answered. And I've heard people say stuff like that. I know you have. But if we'll always, did you know you can have 100% prayer success if you will hear what God's word says on the subject, build that faith into your heart, and then act like that's true and say it with your mouth, you'll have everything in his word. I've seen it work in my life for 30-some years now, and that's the way it works. And I've been screaming it from the housetops ever since, and every once in a while somebody gets it. And they have success too.
Amen.
Every once in a while, I keep hoping.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so good.
We can help spoil the devil's plan for our lives by controlling blank, blank, blank.
What we hear.
What we hear. Yep. I think you got it now. How did God
tell? What we say.
Well, that's tonight's lesson. That's part of it too. But you got to hear it first. They have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You're right too, Karen. Absolutely right. How did God tell what word Joshua received into his heart? Here's a question to think about. How did God know? How did God know that Joshua believed him?
Because
well,
he done it.
What he told
because
him.
He did it. He obeyed him.
God isn't dumb. He knows
what to do.
He knows who believes his word. How does he know? By what they're doing in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going around going, oh, what is me? What am I going to do? Oh, my gosh, my whole world's caved in. There's no answer. What am I going to say? They don't know my word very well. I said they're overcomers. I said greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I said if you'll believe in your heart, say with your mouth, it'll come to pass. Where are my kids? Why aren't they doing that? Because God cannot operate beyond his own word. Too many Christians think that God's just going to rise up and say, well, I kind of give up on my word, I guess. We'll just try to do this a different way. No, he's not going to do that. The word is everything with God.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the way things are going to work, and us Christians got to fit in with that plan. And when we do, things happen wonderfully.
Right.
Wonderfully.
Okay. It flies right off, don't it?
It does. Just like grease lightning. Okay, bonus. Look out. Name the bad king who convinced a good king to wear his robe into battle so the good king might be killed instead of him. That sounds like hearing the wrong words to me. You know what king that was? Anybody figure that out? And who was the good king who listened to the bad advice? Then the next question was, name two verses forbidding us to hang around with bad company. Hint. 2 Chronicles 19:2 is one you should read. So let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. And we'll look at verse 2. And Jehoshaphat, verse 1 too. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the prophet or seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Okay? Now, this is a verse that really is saying don't hang around with bad company. But I said this is one you should read. Now, if you read that and you thought, I wonder why Jehoshaphat, wonder why God was upset with Jehoshaphat because he was helping the ungodly, you might go back and read a couple verses before that and find out why. And then you'd answer the first question. See how tricky I am? All right, let's go back just a couple verses. Or to the chapter before that. And it tells a story. And in this story, it talks about a king called Ahab that asked a king called Jehoshaphat to go into battle with him. All right, and this is all through this 18th chapter here. And it said here, verse 2, 18. After certain years, Jehoshaphat went down to Ahab to Samaria. And it goes on down here in the last part of the verse, and it said he persuaded Jehoshaphat to go with him to battle, to Ramoth-Gilead, and he went to battle. And Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me into Ramoth-Gilead? In other words, to battle. And he answered him, I'll do whatever you want to do. I am as you are. And my people is thy people. And will be with thee in the war. Now, you know enough to know that Ahab was the wicked king that ever lived in the Old Testament. You know that, don't you? From all the stuff he and his wife Jezebel. Remember her? What a pickle she was. So Jehoshaphat in verse 4 says, well, before we go into battle, let's ask what the Lord wants us to do. And so he says, well, okay. So he got all these false prophets. I'm just going to shorten this down because I don't want to read this whole chapter. So he got all these false prophets. And he came up and says, oh, yeah, go to battle. Everything will go great. Okay, verse 29. And the king of Israel, which is Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, I'm going to disguise myself in this battle, and I'm going to go in the battle, but I'm asking you to put on my robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Syria, Jehoshaphat, went into battle, and he wore the other guy's robes. That doesn't sound too smart, does it? I mean, if you're going to go into battle, are you going to wear the king's robes or not? I mean, that's kind of stupid to have everybody aiming their arrows at you. Okay, and verse 31 says, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it's the king of Israel, because he's wearing the king's clothes. He wasn't the king of Israel. Therefore, they compassed him about to fight him. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. But he shouldn't have been hanging around with this guy in the first place. That's why he was getting chewed out in the next chapter. Now it came to pass that when the captains of the chariot perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. So Jehoshaphat escaped. But in verse 33, it says another man just drew his bow at a venture, just didn't know, just kind of didn't know who he's aiming at, and happened to hit the king of Israel. So all this protection business didn't help him. And it killed him. Killed Ahab. All right? And he was wounded, and in verse 34 says, the battle increased. The king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot till the Syrians until the evening came, and about the time of the sun going down, he died. Mm-hmm. So that's why the king of Ahab of Israel wanted Jehoshaphat to wear his robes, so Jehoshaphat get killed instead of him. But it backfired on him. But only because Jehoshaphat was a good king, he called out to God. Now, you go down in verse 19, and that's when the prophet came to shoot out Jehoshaphat and says, why are you hanging around with the ungodly? Why are you helping him? You know how he's like. Anybody understand what I'm talking about now? So who are the two kings? And bonus question, who was the good king? Who was the bad king that tried to convince the good king to wear his robes? That was the bad king was?
Ahab.
Right. Who was the good king who listened to this bad advice?
Jehoshaphat,
right. I guess it was kind of a hard question because when you read 2 Chronicles 19:2, it just talks about helping the ungodly, but I was hoping that, you know, we'd give you a hint, you go back and read, why did he help the ungodly? How did he do that? And then you'd find out in the previous chapter what happened. It was a little bit. It's kind of a tough question. Well, but I bet if anybody asks you again, you'll get it.
I know I will. But I did read it also when I was reading the Bible through.
Okay.
I dwelt on this a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it had completely flipped my mind.
Well, I guess this verse has spoken to me a few times when I was in business about not getting unequally yoked with unbelievers. And people that were not having the same motives I did, you know, in business deals.
I've always
You can get in trouble that way. And this verse kind of stood out to me a few times. Should thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Now, you do love them, you understand.
Yeah.
But it means in the sense of getting real involved with their finances and business and in situations that for the Lord to bless you, he's almost got to bless them. And they're not doing anything scriptural, so God can't bless them, and so you get hooked up with them, and God can't bless you. Did you find any verses forbidding us to hang around with bad company? In other words, if you hang around bad company, you're going to hear things that are from the world, and you're going to develop faith in the wrong thing. Anybody have any luck with that?
I found 2 Corinthians 6:14.
Good for you. Yeah. Do you want to read that one for us?
It says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common?
There you go.
What fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and
Belial?
What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and the idol? For we are the temple of the living God.
Right. So all the way through there, he's comparing the unbeliever with the believer, isn't he? He's not saying you can't be with them. He's just saying don't get hooked up and yoked with them. In other words, yoked means like if they go one direction, you've got to go with them, like in a partnership in a business or something like that. Yoke means, you know,
it means like a team together.
Right, team together. Be careful of that. Mm. All right, that's what it's saying. Okay, there's one. So that's the one I had, too. We could go on. There's several. Psalm 1:1, if you want to write it down, is another one. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 to 11 is another one. Psalm 1:1, I'll just really quickly read that to you. That's a simple one to go to. Right, the very first verse, the very first psalm. God tells us that blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor hangs around or stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. In other words, don't hang around with those kind of people. Mm-hmm.